Radio.com.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
And you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment. Wrestle Talk Radio.
Politically incorrect. And damn proud of it.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What hurts most are my feelings. You cussed at me. You verbally abused me. Whatever shall I do?
And the indie scene.
I'm Al Stoke.
I'm Roddy Piper. This is Awesome Kong.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Spud.
Asshole.
Yes, I am.
Mace. And the Omega.
You'll do my bidding, or taste my wrath.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, radio, tell me everything you know.
I like to play it real loud. I like to drive with the top down, rolling like thunder, always drawing a crowd. Every babe's gonna want a piece of me.
And welcome to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It is the night of WWE DLC, where ROH proved to be champions across the board. This is the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading the way. Please join me in welcoming Spug.
Hooray!
Delayed reaction!
Shut up, Tim. I had to unmute my microphone.
Hooray! Also joining us tonight, Mr. Alan Wojcik.
I'm still trying to figure out what the hell happened. Holy crap, this will be an interesting recap because everybody here watched the show.
Intro, Alan. Intros.
Intro. We'll get there, don't worry.
Everybody watched this pay-per-view. Awesome!
Well, it's not TNA pay-per-view.
I'm not the one man rock band.
It didn't start with the letters TNA. That's why we watched it.
Yeah, started TLC, not TNA.
W-K-Y-K-I. Wow.
I have never wanted to hit you more than I do right now.
Thank you.
And the attention whore who keeps interrupting my introductions, Tim Stein.
Whoa, you know it.
So you're agreeing with me.
Don't try to talk with a Brooklyn accent. It doesn't work.
Oh, I wasn't doing a Brooklyn accent. I was just saying, woo, you know it. That's all. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And yes, that was an entertaining pay-per-view. But for those of you who follow global politics, I just got one thing that we gotta get out there. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Witch oh witch. Kim Jong-il.
Is he dead? Really?
Kim Jong-il. No. It was reported literally right in the middle of the pay-per-view. Sir Rock and the producer, got some kind of a breaking news announcement. Apparently, Kim Jong-il died Saturday.
Well, now one of his less productive sons will take over.
Well, that's what they're saying. Kim Jong, not so sick or ill. Not as ill.
Isn't that scary, though? We've watched two pay-per-views and two, I'm sure I'm just stealing what Omega's about to say, but didn't we just do this at Extreme Rules when they were here in Tampa?
You wait till the Royal Rumble where Castro dies.
I was about to say, who's going to die in the middle of the Rumble? I mean, fuck. What pay-per-view was it where they bagged Obama? Or,
it was Extreme
Osama?
Rules.
Yeah, okay.
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It was here in Tampa because Cena talked
that
to CENTCOM here.
No,
that was when Bin Laden died.
Bin Laden got tagged on Easter in April.
It happened at Extreme Rules because the wars run out of here. So
no.
John Cena at the end of the pay-per-view telling everybody
May
that Bin Laden
2011
died.
Is when they bagged and tagged Obama or Osama. And I don't know why I've got Obama on the brain. Holy
because you're an
Christ.
Idiot. That wasn't Extreme Rules. That was at a fucking,
May 2nd, 2011.
That wasn't Extreme. They didn't hold Extreme Rules that early in the month.
It was here in Tampa. It was a Sunday night pay-per-view in Tampa.
As opposed to the Friday night,
Extreme Rules 2011, May 1st.
There you go.
Yeah, it happened here because this is where CENTCOM and SOCOM are done. The wars run from here, not Washington, D.C.
There you go.
They get a real nice palatial bunker here at MacDill Air Force Base, man. Which I'm surprised they didn't bring tribute to the troops here, but I digress from your wonderful soliloquy. Can we get the Team America music to play at some point, Rock?
Fuck yeah!
I said it in the chat. If he died of radiation poisoning, I am going to laugh so hard.
That would be just poetic fucking justice. Don't you think?
Exactly. Oh yes.
So
his hair finally did him in.
I don't know. I read Rock's breaking news report, and I couldn't help but think a little fucking cockroach climbing into a spaceship.
Fuck you, Americans! I'll be back. Alec Baldwin, you fucking asshole!
But Matt Damon's still alive, so we know.
Matt Damon! But that Matt Damon puppet had more character than the actual real life actor. So yeah, all right. So that out of the way, why don't we talk a little bit of TLC pay per view presented by Double E. They really started hot tonight, getting the crowd right into it by bringing Zack Ryder out to take on Dolph Ziggler for the U.S. title, and that I think was probably the best match to start the pay-per-view with tonight. Of course, Dolph Ziggler dropping the title to Zack Ryder.
See, this would actually be a perfect setup for them to have for a little while because. You got Zack Ryder, who is so hot right now. You've got a title. You got the mid-card title on him. You could start every pay-per-view off with him for the next few months, and the crowd would be just instantly on fire.
Mm-hmm. Well, they sure built him up properly for just this moment, and I don't see him being off the TV anytime soon. So,
hell no.
If they do that, that would be dumb. That would be very, very dumb. Just saying. So, comments on this, comments on the match itself, Omega?
Very, very solid opening match. Glad it went the right way on this one. We've been talking about, have they been booking him correctly for the last few weeks and last months or so? Judging on the reaction tonight, I'm going to say yes. He deserved the belt at this time, and more importantly, Ziggler deserved to get the belt taken off of him so he could step up. I'm looking forward to both of them elevating from here.
Alan.
I got to agree with Omega. We've talked about it on KFA Wrestling Radio the last few weeks that this feels right, and I could totally see Dolph Ziggler taking on a world champion at WrestleMania if this is done right. So kudos to him for doing the job, so to speak. And it was funny, my 3-year-old is sitting in the room with me and goes, he needs to color. And I'm like, what do you mean? And then she points and she's just, oh yeah, Nikki needs to do his roots. very, very well done stuff. I really have enjoyed that feud between them, and man, Shaman's got to end, but they'll both move on to better stuff.
Okay, Spug.
Should have been done sooner.
You figured the match was too late in coming?
I said it a couple weeks ago. You're gonna miss your peak, and I think they missed their peak. Yes, they did. Because this match should have happened at Survivor Series a month ago. Sure, the crowd popped and got hot, but that doesn't mean you didn't miss your peak and the ability to capitalize on it.
No, I don't think they, personally, and again, just my opinion, I don't think they missed their peak. I think that what they did was really, really well done storyline and, you know, storyline wise for this particular angle. They didn't give it to you when you wanted it. They didn't give it to you when you expected it. They dragged it out just that little bit longer and made you just salivate for it. And yeah, when he won, that pop was huge. And I think the pop would have been less huge at Survivor Series.
Never mind.
Just saying.
Never just mind. Saying.
All right, so there it is. Zack Ryder, woo, 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 you know it. Up next, WWE Tag Team Titles. Air Boom taking on Primo and Epico. Omega, what's the most surprising thing for you?
Knowing Primo's alive. I'm sorry, either him or his career was dead. I couldn't tell. But yeah, I was saying it during the pay-per-views. It's like, I haven't seen him on Raw. I haven't seen him on SmackDown. Nobody watches Superstars. And apparently he earned this on Tribute to the Troops, which that's about as out of nowhere as you get. And considering WWE, like, they've been trying to put some tag team division together of some sort. But, you know, between one of the Usos, you know, getting in trouble, and now, R-Truth getting in trouble, they've been kind of having trouble keeping tag teams together even when they're trying. To the point where, okay, Primo, Epico, okay, let's just throw them on pay-per-view. You know, at least it's here and not on, you know, a dark match of some kind.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's understandable completely. Alan?
I was very surprised to even see these guys. I had seen them on SmackDown a couple times, and they had them with Hunico, and I believe it was the Superstars taping. Somebody sent me notes about saying that they teamed up Donnie Marlowe, Haku's son, on a couple of events, and Marlo, I guess, is going to go with Hunico, and that Epico and Primo Cologne are going to do their thing. I had an interesting social networking conversation with someone who, and I had remarked about, time to drop the belts that they should have dropped 30 days ago when Evan Bourne was suspended for the wellness issue that eventually caught Ron Killings, and instead we got this matchup, and the person I was talking with, and they're very, very cordial about it, was, you know, like, oh, well, you know, this shouldn't have happened. You know, the belt, I said, no, the belt sat dormant for 30 plus days. And I'm not talking in a kayfabe sense. I'm talking in an actual business sense. Your world tag team champs sat and did nothing. Well, Kofi worked, but I was expecting the Usos at one point. I was expecting, I ran out of people to expect after the Usos because I can't think of another tag team that existed. So this was a good match. I enjoyed it. And once again, now what does Air Boom do from here, boss? I mean, this is like when we talked about TNA the other night. I was talking to TNA with Spug, and I talked friends with TNA. When we talked with Billy Gunn and Sean Waltman, they were just like, tag team wrestling is, let's take, okay, you're a singles guy, Tim and Omega, congratulations, you're a tag team, go get them. There's no actual tag teams anymore. There is. It's called the NWA World Tag Team Champions, the Dark City Fight Club, that neither one of these promotions will touch, because they're scary as hell.
Fort City Dyke Club, okay. I still hate those belts, Omega.
Yeah, belts look idiotic. I can't blame them for sitting on those for 2 years without using them.
Oh, Christ.
It looked like giant novelty pennies.
Well, I was just about to say, do those things not look like pennies that you put on the railroad track just before the train runs over.
At least those stretch out and form some like weird shape. This is just a giant penny.
Yeah, they're horrible. They look like something that my 9-year-old cousins made in their backyard. It looks like something. You look back at those old Hardy videos, Omega, from their backyarding days before they did the Omega promotion, and that's what they look like.
See,
and this is a company that hundreds of billions of dollars and some of the most creative people in the world, bro. They could have called you up. You could have come up with something in 5 minutes.
Hell yes, absolutely. Like, I get what they were going at. There's this Roman theme to it, so okay, we'll put it in brass. That makes sense for the Roman theme. I don't even mind having, you know, different belts, different colors, you know, especially if you're kind of in your head, you've already kind of acknowledged, okay, a guy's a tag team wrestler, then he goes to the IC belt, then he goes to the world belt. You know, that's the traditional path to, you know, a long-term superstar. So I don't mind it going, you know, Olympic style, bronze, silver, gold. So I can take the different color. There's two stupid feathered helmets on a big brass circle. It looks like they robbed an art museum.
Oh my god. I always get that. I have Peter Graves from Airplane in my head when I see those belts sometimes, if fans have ever seen that movie. No, I have him.
Roger, what's your vector?
I have him sitting there looking at the kid that looked like Bobby Brady going, Joey, you ever seen any Gladiator movies?
Do we have clearance?
I don't know. Put him on five and hold the mayo.
Anybody under 30 is like, what the fuck are they talking about? Well, this is Alan's first movie reference of the night.
We need two more and a couple of name drops.
What's that? Go ahead, Omega.
I was under over and he was overdone.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so the next match, the tables match with Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett.
I was surprised how early this was on the show.
Alan, what's his name?
Whose name?
The British guy.
Oh, Wade Barrett.
There we go. It's Wade Barrett.
Barrett.
It's Wade Barrett, you.
Barrett. I just like saying it because it's almost, I didn't know it was going to irritate Spug the way it did. I just am
a pretentious prick. That's all.
My friend Rachel, who is from England, when I talk to her on the phone, she pronounces his name as Wade Barrett. And if it was, I know it's Barrett if you're in the American English nomenclature, but what was that great Canadian goalie's name that if you said it in the American, it sounded like he had two first names? Come on. You know I'm talking about, Tim.
You talking about Patrick Roy?
Yeah.
Pat Roy? Patrick what?
Roy.
Not Roy. No, it's not Roy. It's Roy.
Whichever.
Patrick Roy.
Either way.
That's French. His last name translates into the English. His last name really is King. So in English, his name is Patrick King.
Yeah, it translates to, I have a lot of Stanley Cup rings and I digress. I don't know how Omega felt about this or Spug felt about this, but when I saw this come up on the sheet, I'm just going, okay, wait a minute. We're third match in and these guys are here? I figured this was going to be maybe the match between the world championship matches. I thought, they teased the whole thing with Cody Rhodes, and I figured, okay, maybe Cody will be the third match in. And all of a sudden, I stepped away to get a soda. I come back, and I'm like, what the heck's Wade Barrett doing out here?
In a weird way, that kind of worked, considering you were going to have you're going to slot in an IC match there, and all of a sudden, you know, Booker T gets taken out. So, you know, things, you know, maybe I'm playing devil's advocate here, but things should feel a little disjointed at that point. You know, yeah, it should be higher up on the card, but we just lost a match for now. So,
what do you think about that, Spug? Putting Randy Orton and Wade Barrett up for third, like so early in the show.
Did we lose him? Where is he?
You screwed up the match by having Orton go over, so it really didn't fucking matter where you put him.
So you figured Wade Barrett should have won that one?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But, what exactly are they doing with Barrett and Orton, however, aside from just throwing them together? Because that's what it's felt like to me, you know what I mean?
No, they're trying to build a good program on it, and they were doing a pretty good job until they had Orton go over. You shouldn't have had Orton go over, because you've just killed any momentum aimed with Barrett.
Uh-huh. Well, I can't disagree with you on that one. I think you and I are on the same page for that book. So
I'm so glad.
But, yeah, no, I would have put that match fifth instead of third. However, it did work where it was.
It worked where it was because it turned out to be such a derivative match. I mean, wasn't that such an original finish?
Oh, yeah. Who would ever think to have Randy Orton deliver the RKO to somebody who's in midair?
Yeah, but did anybody else just go, holy crap, my knees hurt when I watched that spot?
Yeah.
What, when Barrett crashed into the table knees first?
Oh, man.
That was kind of brutal.
I've done that getting off a ring apron as a ring announcer, and the guy was goofing with me, and he bumped the rope, and he figured, oh, he's going to land fine. And I went right down on the table with both knees. I'm just going, okay. Now do it from that height that he was at. I'm going, Barrett's, what, 6'6", a figure, whoa.
Yeah.
But I want to ask Spug, as someone who's in training and has seen tons of matches in person with tables and whatnot, is that Barrett's goof? Is that Orton's goof for where he placed the table? Is it both of them? Who shares the blame if Barrett if Barrett comes out of here with a knee injury?
Did Barrett go through the table?
Yeah, he went through the table, but Orton positioned the table, or did Barrett position the table?
It doesn't really matter.
Okay.
He went through the table. It's wrestling, not ballet. Accidents happen. Now, had, like, Orton purposely tried to injure his knees? Yeah, but in this case, it's not really a big deal. Like, it's not.
So there you go, Wade Barrett, coming out on the short end of the stick.
And because I know boys at the E listen to us. I know they do. I'm fucking sick and tired of that corner RKO spot. It worked once. You don't have to do it every goddamn match because it loses its effect.
Kind of like watching a Bret Hart match, eh, Spuck?
Every Bret Hart match has lost its effect for me, sir.
Wow. Bazinga! So, yeah. Right before that, of course, we had Hornswoggle talking to the Black Santa Claus, Teddy Long. And, Omega, you had a great line. Great. They give Hornswoggle a voice, and we find out he's a racist.
Yeah.
When did he swallow Dusty Rhodes, man?
Oh, jeez. It was just so out there. Apparently, I missed him trying to talk jive at some point. Which, you know, would have been like, you know, the double facepalm moment for me if I had seen it.
It was on Raw when he was trying to, you know, rap with Booker.
Yeah, I completely missed that, thank God. My brain might have shut it out as a defensive mechanism.
You know, before JR started to rap.
That one I don't remember because my brain shut it out as a defensive mechanism.
Damn.
I don't know, like, okay, Hornswoggle, you know, like, okay, you know, okay, he gets a gift he doesn't quite like, he goes to hug Teddy, and he ends up stomping his foot and runs off. Okay, that's kind of like, okay, that's funny and amusing when he's just making little, you know, just little leprechaun noises, I guess you refer to them as. When he's talking, he's just being a dick.
Okay, yeah, you got a point. Anybody want to refute him?
Nah, pass.
Okay. Well, time to talk about the match that Omega has been dying to talk about all night long.
Are you sure dying to talk about or going to die talking about?
Oh, one of the two. Beth Phoenix taking on Kelly for the Divas Championship with Beth coming out.
There goes the heart! There goes the heart.
So go ahead, yap about it, Omega.
Dear God. I think the only thing Kelly Kelly is good at in the ring is screaming like a harpy.
Will was chatting with us, and didn't he say something about it sounding like she was giving birth?
Something like that. I mean, it's...
Can I use my second movie reference for the night?
Yeah,
she sounded like one of the victims from Hostel.
Yeah, I mean, it's obvious. Well, you know, to work in a different joke here, it's obvious how she keeps her job because her throat is in great working order.
Okay, I guess Kelly Kelly's going to be the new Lita joke, huh?
No, because apparently Lita's going to keep showing up, so I get to keep making those jokes. Kelly Kelly is my resource for stupid jokes, dating back to her first appearance, where she didn't know how to take off a bra.
Yeah, you had a lot of fun talking about that. Not as much as Will.
No, Will had more fun with it, but... God, this match... This wasn't a match, it was a freaking car wreck. How many botches did Kelly pull on this one?
More than anybody should in a whole fucking year, and she condensed it all into one match.
It's not her fault. It's not her fault. As the veteran in the ring, Beth Phoenix should fucking know better. If she cannot call things that Kelly is comfortable with, either in the back or in the ring, that make them both look good, then it's Beth's fault, not Kelly's.
Yeah, not to break that imaginary fourth wall and further do any damage to the no longer existent kayfabe. But Pug,
care right now.
No, Spug is exactly correct. As the person who's supposed to know what the fuck's going on, it is Beth's job to carry Kelly Kelly and make her look good. Alan.
Do I really have to talk about this match? Because it wasn't fun.
We're not so much talking about the match as I'm... Look, I'm
sick. Oh, the veteran thing?
Well, no, I'm sick of the Cena hate, and I'm sick of the Kelly Kelly hate. And so, you know what? If it breaks kayfabe, I really don't give a fuck. I'm going to start sticking up for it, because I think it's bullshit.
But could it also be who's... I'm blanking on a moment here. Isn't Dustin Reynolds in charge of the girls right now?
Yeah, but Dustin Reynolds is not matches and calling
still,
the spots. That's the thing we're talking about, Alan.
See, the hard part about Kelly is that she has shown really good athleticism in the past, but every now and then she is a little hit and miss with it.
It's not her though. That's the point I'm trying to get across. Is girls like Beth, like Gail Kim, like Kong and Natty, who were brought up in the wrestling business and know how to wrestle and weren't models and porn stars before they got into a wrestling ring and you know, have no clue how to wrestle, they're the ring generals. They're the ones that need to be, when you're in the ring with a Kelly Kelly and an Eve Torres and individuals like that, they're the ones that need to be in the corner saying, all right, Irish whip, corner clothesline. Irish whip, corner clothesline, roll up. Shit like that. They are the ones that call the match in the ring and in the back. They are the ring generals. They're the ones that are supposed to make those individuals look good, not the other way around.
But isn't the majority of your matches the heel calls the match?
Doesn't matter who calls it.
But still, I had mentioned the Dustin Reynolds thing because this kind of thing, especially as you mentioned, Kelly came from like Trish Stratus did, she came like Lisa Baron did, Tara, whatever you want to call her. They came from a non-traditional wrestling thing. So I'm guilty of it. I make fun of Kelly, but I liked the mean streak type thing that we've seen recently. I almost was sitting there at night going, okay, if she loses, does she go postal on Beth? And it didn't happen. So I agree with what Spug is saying, that whoever's in the ring with her, that would be like me being in a ring with hardly any experience and the other person just sitting there going, I don't know, go ahead and do what you want. Yeah, well, but it's also the referee is also in there that maybe should be with his IFB, with whoever Cinna Gorilla needs to be also saying stuff, going, okay, this has turned into Botchamania. Let's get this crap over and done with.
Well, the thing that you brought up, I'll throw it to you really quick, but the thing you brought up, Alan, is talking about Kelly going ballistic on Beth. That does not fit this whole Diva storyline thing. That would be absolutely, totally the wrong thing to do. Go ahead,
Why
Spud.
Not? They had Mariah Kanellis playing a total dimwit, and then all of a sudden out popped the frickin' Harvard, Yale graduate.
Well, that's
totally different.
That's a totally different thing. That was an I Love Lucy skit type thing. Go ahead, Spud.
I do like that they've given Kelly backbone recently. I do like that. But the thing that this is what really and truly bugs me. Is that, and it goes to the fourth wall, and it goes to all the smarks that think that they know what the fuck they're talking about and have no goddamn clue. Yeah, it might be the heel who generally calls the match, but it doesn't matter. It's the individual with more experience and knows what the hell they're doing and being the ring general. Look, a perfect example, Triple H and Mark Marrow back in the 90s. Triple H was up in WWE for how long? Not very. And he said that was the feud that taught him how, because he had to work with Marrow, because Marrow was so out there. I don't understand why people have to throw so much hate and venom and vitriol at individuals like Kelly, or Trish Stratus back in the day, or Eve Torres, or so forth, because they botch moves here and there when the individuals who know better and know how to make them look good aren't doing their jobs. That's my beef.
Two reasons that I can think of. A, it's cool, and B, we're subjected to too much TNA.
Fair enough.
There you go. All right. Hey, everybody, we're going to take a first time out of the evening. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be back with the rest of this pay-per-view recap, and then we're going to talk to you about what happened to my day today. We'll be back right after this.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
On the 12th day of Christmas, WTR gave to me 12 sinful stories.
11 swipes at mouth.
10 shots of whiskey.
9 live shows.
8 liter jokes.
7 reminders to call in.
6 days of programming.
5 starting shows.
4 shows this poor guy.
3 wrestling talk shows.
2 Australians.
And a pay-per-view post-show for free!
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
You are? No, you are, it's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
War.
War. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivering pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the seventh moon of Raxor in the Gaxan Galaxy called Wrestle Talk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the warrior commands you to do it. Now the warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
This is Steven Salas from Pinball Pro Wrestling, and you're listening to Wrestler Talk Radio. Don't forget, the number one show in wrestling, coming from the number one wrestler in Western Canada. Cocaine nose and trendy clothes.
Welcome back to WTR, Midnight Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And hey, you know, there's more than one way to listen to us. You can come into the chat room, you can catch what we're saying on Justin TV, which is just to the right and just the tiniest little bit above the chat. Or you can click the play button right below the chat room and listen to us streaming on Showcast. Or you can listen to us when you're on the go with your smartphone. All you gotta do is go to wildtalkradio.mobapp.at on your mobile device. Check out the new WTR app. Best of all, it's free. Now, you could be super lazy and just go to our website there in the chat room and actually scan that little code, and it'll take you there. Because that's what those things do, you know.
Yeah, it will just download the app right to your phone.
And it will. It'll just go, boom, there you are. It's downloaded. Hey, we've got an app for that.
And it's newly updated, so check it out, the WTR mobile app.
There you go, yeah. And if you want to call into the show, we got a couple ways for you to do that. All you got to do is pick up the telephone, cell phone or landline, and dial 267-297-1397. Or if you've got Skype, just Skype Sir Rockin'. It tells you exactly the name right above the chat. You know, interact live on Skype by calling Sir Rockin'. Yeah, don't call Fire on Ice when WTR Sunday Night is on, Eddie.
Yeah, Tim Stein is Fire on Ice, so if you ever need to get a hold of Tim Stein, talk to Fire on Ice.
Yeah, there you go. You'll never need to get a hold of me, so that's perfectly no problems at all. It's perfectly fine. So, yeah, well, it was, it's been a long freaking day. Holy cow. Let's take a look at this, pay-per-view thing that we had going on here with, Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, I think they called it. Is that what it was called?
Yes,
it was TLC.
TLC.
That's what I hiccup thought. Exactly. Up next, probably match of the night for a couple of reasons, partly because of the, the legacy, I guess you might want to say, between these two guys. Kevin Nash taking on Triple H in a sledgehammer on dangling wire match.
A sledgehammer ladder match is how they call it.
There you go. It's a sledgehammer ladder match. First one to reach the sledgehammer can use it however he wants. And, I said right at the outset before this match started, Omega, that this match would probably look a lot better than it actually winds up being. And I don't know if everybody quite understood what I was going for with that statement. Did you understand what I was talking about?
Not really. I'd have to pay attention to you for that.
You fucker. What about you, Alan?
He's not paying attention at all.
I don't think he's back from the bathroom yet. What about Spug? Are you back yet?
No one wants to talk to you, Tim.
Welcome to the Tim and Omega Show.
Oh, no.
But
all right, basically what I'm talking about. Okay, Rock, did you understand what I was going after?
I had to be paying attention, like Omega said. I was doing other
don't
things.
Don't be an asshole, asshole. We've already got enough on the air. We don't need you. Well, you're enough of an asshole behind the scenes.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, talk about, make your point.
Spud's back. I'll ask him, because he's, unlike you guys, smart, and he knows shit.
Wait.
Spud.
Wait, you just called. Anyway, continue.
Anyway, Spud, we're talking about Triple H versus Kevin Nash, and I just mentioned that before the match started, I said this match will wind up looking a lot better than it will actually be. You understand what I'm talking about, right? He refuses. Nobody will answer me.
No sell Tim Knight right here on the Wild Talk Radio. Number.
My God.
Just make your point, Tim.
Basically, the match itself was designed the way it was to protect both these guys because of their advancing years and potential and, for injury proneness. It's going to look really, really good, but a match like this type of a match actually protects both guys a lot more than people realize.
Thank you for stealing just about everything I said before the match in the chat.
Well, thanks for chiming in and talking, answering when I asked you that question.
Didn't I say be right back in the, like, 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, but then I saw your little blue light on Skype light up and I figured you were back, so I asked. And I said, this match is going to wind up looking better than it actually is going to be. I said that in the chat before the match actually started. And then I was I tried to throw it to you because I knew that you would understand what I was talking about. But you never answered.
I'm sorry. Yes. I'm just like, everybody's like, oh, who's going to blow out a quad now? Who's going to...
Yep.
No, it's not going to happen. They're going to work a very slow, methodical pace. They're going to do things with weapons, and they're going to go through and guess what? It's going to look fantastic because those guys have a tendency to blow quads and hurt themselves.
Yeah. And so they put on a match that looked absolutely fantastic. But if you were to break it down, you would, if we could do it like, call it scene by scene, if you will, you would see how they planned out the thing literally from beginning to end. It wasn't just, okay, we're going to call it. No, you could tell that these guys actually sat down for an hour before the pay-per-view started sometime today and mapped out move for move. Sure, they'll call the spots in the ring. And there was only one. There was only one part where I think that Nash got the spots mixed up. He was about to duck out of the ring, but he came back in again and set the ladder up before he went back outside the ring.
I don't think they called that all in the back.
No.
Mm-mm. I know that Triple H is not a big fan of doing that.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, even though they're both up there in years as far as veteran status goes, I'm sure Nash is giving the nod to H.
Yeah.
So if H has his druthers in his way, I'm sure they called 75 to 80% of that in the ring.
Well, let me rephrase what I said. When I said they sat down for an hour sometime today before the pay-per-view, I misspoke when I said they outlined move for move, like they outlined the match. We want to do this. We want to do that. Let's do it like this. We'll figure it out in the ring because that's what they do, you know, being veterans and pros. You do all of that calling in the ring itself, but an outline. They sat down and talked about it. See, okay, well, we'll do all of this stuff, and then we'll hit that, and then yada, 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 and then we'll go from there. That's what I mean.
You know, I'm sure they outlined it a little bit, but mm-hmm. I don't even think that they went, like, that far. I really do truly and legitimately think that 75 to 80% of that match was called in the ring as it happened. Not even in the back.
They probably called this, they probably said, we want to do this spot, this spot, this spot, but they don't say how they're going to get to each spot.
Right. Like, I bet you the only thing they walked out there knowing was the finish. That's it. I would be willing to bet that the only spot that they had nailed down when they walked out there was the finish.
Well, that's quite possible. I mean, unless we get a chance to get like to a WWE show and hang out in the back, we're never going to know for sure. So this is one of those open debates that you know, only those two guys will be able to answer when they finally retire and do the circuit. You know, if they do. Nash has done it, and we'll do it again. I don't know about Triple H. That'd be interesting if he did. But anyway, that being said, thoroughly entertaining match, really good. Alan?
I was very surprised that they took a lot of the risks that they did. I'll admit, I joked around on social networking that this was a ladder match with Kevin Nash versus Triple H with Dr. James Andrews at ringside, and most people that follow pro wrestling know that James Andrews is a Birmingham, Alabama surgeon that does pretty much everybody's injuries.
For those listening who don't know Alan, why don't you tell them who Dr. Andrews is?
Triple H is both of Triple H's injuries done by him.
He's not just wrestling. He's
everywhere.
Like he does football. He does baseball. He does all sports. They don't call him Dr. Death for nothing. If you have an injury that requires you to go see Dr. Andrews, 10 out of 9 times, it's season ending. Or career ending.
Quite possibly, yeah. So, as far as the match goes, Omega?
With Nash's, you know, condition and age, about the speed I predicted, I was far more entertained with the match than I thought I'd be, though. I mean, I give Nash a lot of credit for taking a table bump toward the end there.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly wasn't even sure if he'd even try to climb a ladder, let alone take a bump off one. So, thumbs up. It's a good moment.
There you go. Very good, as far as entertainment purposes, very good match, wouldn't you say, Spud?
Yeah, it was really good. The only thing that kind of made me go, was the end when, Triple H went for the pedigree and Nash kind of fell. I thought that they did a good job covering it up.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the announcers going, oh, it looks like that, you know, Nash's beaten leg, you know, gave out. So to me, that kind of looked like Nash didn't know what the hell he was doing at that point. But other than that, solid.
Yeah. So all around, fairly good match for these two. Up next, Jack Swagger versus Sheamus. Of course, Sheamus beating Jack Swagger, and there wasn't really anything in this match that was, I don't know, overly outstanding, would you say, Alan?
It was a match, that was it. It was time filler. It was a SmackDown Raw match, and over and done with. I like both of these guys, but they're kind of floating there. Cole made the point of, you know, we've got a two-time WWE champion in Sheamus and a world champion in Swagger, and it kind of just felt like, you know, to quote Mace, meh. Mm. It was there.
Yeah. Omega.
Yeah, about the same feeling. This is about as tacked on as it gets. This really should have been where the Orton-Barrett match should have been. You know, this would have suited the earlier card a lot better. You know, it's an okay match, but it's nothing I couldn't see on SmackDown or Raw. I mean, it's just there.
Yep. Okay, Spug.
It was decent. I think the one thing about it that probably, that really could have made it work better was a little bit more build than just, you've insulted me in front of Teddy Long, so I shall make a match.
Well, that's the feel of it, right? So, yeah, you know, no disagreement at all. It should have been earlier in the card. Like you said, very solid SmackDown match. And that's pretty much what it was, a SmackDown match on a pay-per-view. Now we get into something that's going to cause a little bit of controversy. And I know for a fact that Mace is popping because of the outcome of this one.
You can feel his vibe.
There you go. The Big Show versus Mark Henry for the World Heavyweight title. In a chairs match, Omega.
Hey. I wasn't happy to see another Mark Henry Big Show match. You know, the chair stipulation, I always cringe every single time the TLC pay-per-view pulls that one out. It's because okay, table match has a different objective, a ladder match has a different objective, a TLC match has a different objective. You know, chairs is just a no-holds-barred match with a weapon limitation. Just, it's nothing.
Would you like a chairs match if it ended, like, in a knockout?
You know what? You know, I would like a chairs match if it ended like musical chairs. We're going to put a chair at the top of the ramp. First one to actually make it there and sit down wins.
Even better, use the music. You have to use that chair. You hit, you knock your opponent out with that chair, and then you have to sit on that chair to win. That's musical chairs for you.
Well, see, you make it like Last Man Standing. Like you.
Yeah.
You knock him out with a chair, then you sit down, they start playing music, and if it ends before the opponent knocks you off, you win.
Oh my goodness. Spug, have you got anything to say about this booking of theirs?
No, I like the match.
Oh, let me add one more thing. If you're doing a musical chairs match, you have to end it by using a beanbag chair.
Oh, God.
I liked the match. I did.
There's nothing
wrong. I didn't get to see it, but, like, I was literally, I was a fan of the booking. Like, I like watching Henry and Big Show because I like seeing guys that can actually work each other of that size.
Mm-hmm. And I think they did a very good job against each other in the ring. Of course, Big Show winning the World Heavyweight Title Championship, Mark Henry all pissed off. Basically lays him out with a couple of chairs to the back, and then a DDT onto another chair in the ring.
A pile of chairs.
A pile of them, knocking Big Show out. And then, Ride of the Valkyries hits. Out comes Daniel Bryan with the briefcase.
Flight.
Cashes in his Money in the Bank, and wins the World Heavyweight title by pinning Show 1-2-3.
Can I throw some logic out here? Isn't on all past Money in the Bank things that they have to actually get back up onto their feet before the referee rings the bell?
Got a point there, doesn't he?
Well, I don't think that's stipulation, but it should be.
I think it is.
So they were going to have a situation on Tuesday where Peanut Head's going to come out and go, no play. You can give me the belt back again. Here's your briefcase again. Try a third time someday soon.
It's an interesting angle, though. It's not something that they've done before with it. We always bitch that they're not original.
That has, that does have the taste of a bit of an originality. Spug's right, guys.
And clip.
Ha! 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 Merry Christmas to me!
Oh, wow. That was epic.
How'd that taste, Tim?
Wow. I don't see what the problem is. It's the Christmas season. Everybody gets one. Except Rock, of course.
Oh. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, you can feel better about yourself. There you go.
But Daniel Bryan's the world champion.
Bryan is the world champion. My question is, will they drop the heavyweight out of the name as long as he holds it?
He's 2-something.
He's what, 2 inches taller than Ray?
Yeah, but he doesn't look like he's 13 years old.
Well, if you talk to Kurt Angle, he looks like an 8-year-old.
Kurt Angle looks like an 88-year-old right now.
Kurt Angle walks like an 88-year-old
right now.
But he's going to represent your country in the
London
Games.
No, he's not.
No, he isn't.
He wants to.
But doesn't mean he's going to.
He won't make the team.
Did you guys share with your chat room that photo that's on Punk's Twitter thing? Scott Fishman, our friend, posted it up.
Yeah, the chat room has seen it.
That's a great photo.
That's awesome. It is. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was weird to see the two of them sitting there because Lenny Leonard and I were just talking online. We've been reminiscing, and I'm like, yeah, didn't we just, FIP 2004 or 2005.
Oh, Alan, I got a question. I got a question for you, Alan.
Oh, God.
Back to Randy Orton versus Wade Barrett. Would you have enjoyed the match more if they called it the Home Depot match?
Yeah, why not? That would have been funny as hell. I think at one point I refer to it as the Dudley / Public Enemy / Home Depot Memorial Match.
Yeah. Ustreamer 406892 in the chat room saying Ray was the WHC. No, he wasn't the WHC. He was the WC. Think about it. For the entire time that he held the world title, he was called the world champion, not the world heavyweight champion. That's what I was alluding to. So, there you go.
It is kind of a dick move to pull the money in the bank on the guy who encouraged you to not wait till Mania in the first place.
Well, there it is. You know, you're watching the result, and as Brian is celebrating in the crowd, they showed a picture of Big Show, and he had a little bit of a Mona Lisa smile come across his face. And, you know, they're going to talk, and Brian's going to, I'm sorry, Show, but I had to. It was, you know, you encouraged me. He says, oh, yeah, you're right, you know, yeah, but, and so he's going to, like, back him on it.
It was your idea, self-fulfilling prophecy.
There you go, exactly.
WWE's really good at doing those kind of shots. You'll go back to Rock Hogan at WrestleMania, where they're doing the whole looking around thing. They're good at getting those subposition shots, and Big Show standing there looking at Daniel Bryan going, crap.
Hoist on his own petard, as it were.
Yeah, and a great way to no-sell there, Big Show. You got knocked crazy by Mark Henry, and as soon as Daniel Bryan got off of you, you were like, all right, my job's done. Can I go get my box of Rice Krispies?
There you go. And for those of you who don't know what hoist on their own petard means, read Shakespeare.
That's a book reference. We don't do book references. We only do movie references.
Well, maybe I'm starting a new thing. Alan does movie references, and so I'll do book references because I read a lot.
He'll do all the Shakespeare references.
I'll just do Shakespeare. Yeah, there you go.
He's going to the pod.
He was there. Spot Run and Dr. Seuss does not count as heavy reading, Tim.
Oh, man, don't get me started, because the stuff I read, you couldn't begin to comprehend. Anyway, next match, third time's the charm. They tried it twice
How
before.
How hard could it be to comprehend a kindergarten book, Tim?
I don't know. You're the one who reads them, not me.
Last I heard, Owen had to teach you how to read.
No, and let's not talk about Owen and reading. This is not a... No.
Where's Waldo?
There you go. Anyway, third time's the charm. They tried to set it up twice before. Cody Rhodes made sure it didn't happen each time. But finally, Booker T gets in the ring to face off against the Intercontinental Champion. And Cody Rhodes retains. Are we done with Booker T in the ring, or is this going to be an ongoing feud?
One can only hope.
They could probably drag it out to the Rumble.
To the Rumble. The Rumble, he says.
You don't think they can drag it out to another 6 weeks to the Rumble?
Sure, why not?
I would hope they don't. That's my point.
But what else are you going to do with Cody Rhodes? You're going to build him up for the Rumble win?
I honestly think that you need to... You... See, I personally don't think that Daniel Bryan is ready for the heavyweight title. I don't. And I would like to see him run with a mid-card belt for a while and make it relevant. And I think that you could do something with Cody Rhodes where he's out of the Rumble somehow. And at the Rumble, you have Cody Rhodes do a belt versus briefcase thing, have him win the briefcase, and then somewhere along the way he drops the belt
There's no briefcase. I don't think they're actually going to take the belt back off of Bryan. I think they're going to keep it on him and not go with it. You know,
I'm saying if they do.
Okay.
If they do.
Would you be okay with Cody Rhodes versus Daniel Bryan at the Rumble for the title?
For the title? Yeah, why not? If they keep the belt on Daniel Bryan, sure, I'd be okay with it.
Oh, there you go. Omega, anything to say about this match? That you might not have yet?
I don't know. It's a nice step up for Cody Rhodes. Okay, he gets a win over a former champion, and he had to be a very dick heel to do it. But, you know, it works. You know, it gives him a bit of a boost. I wish it was with someone who's actually going to have a little bit more longevity than Booker T. Nah. I don't know. It was an okay match. Yeah, I'd like to see Cody Rhodes doing something better than this.
Okay, that's the thing. You got to find something for Cody Rhodes to do other than this, so you think.
Cody Rhodes, legend killer. Why not work for Orton?
Sure, he's stealing my old boss's gimmick.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to the WWE title match, TLC match, with the title actually hanging up top and you had to climb up to get it. We had CM Punk, who's the champion, defending against Miz and Alberto Del Taco.
Del Taco.
Could you be any more disrespectful?
Yeah. Anyway, one major spot, and they couldn't have aimed better. It was absolutely perfect with the ring announcer.
Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, Ricky Ricardo.
Yeah, Ricky Ricardo climbing up and getting pushed off the ladder into the chair. That was executed so absolutely perfectly. You got two chairs side by side, or tables rather, on the floor outside the ring, literally touching. He hits the second table, the one closest to the fans, smack dead center, and it was so perfect that the other table didn't even, it barely even moved.
Yeah, it seemed like it was set up for him to either go through both, or just in case he came up short or long, he'd hit one or the other as a just in case, but that was laser pinpointed. That table exploded.
Yep.
No, it was a brutal bump.
Yeah, like I said, it couldn't have worked out better. It was almost like he was on a string right to the table. And geez, good thing he knows how to work, man. That could have hurt. You saw both referees on the outside go over to him to make sure he was okay, and you saw the one arm up on each of them, no dreaded X. So kudos to Ricky Ricardo for taking that bump, hey Omega?
Yeah, all the credit in the world, man.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a rough bump to take. I mean, yeah, he's trained, but he hasn't worked in a while, and I guarantee he doesn't take spots like that all the time.
Yeah. I don't think they're practicing that at FCW, are they?
I should hope not. You know, Home Depot would be very well funded down there.
Yeah, there you go. All of a sudden, there are like 50 of them springing up right around the arena.
Just what I want to see. All right, kids, today here at FCW, we're going to learn the Dudley Boys spot. Here you go.
Yeah.
Get up there.
That's not
well,
the Dudley
Boys. Well, you got a Home Depot on one side and Lowe's on the other side competing.
Yeah.
God.
There you go. The match itself, very well done, very entertaining. Fuck, that was good, Alan.
Very good stuff done. The handcuff gimmick was really well used here. I teased it online. I said, okay, anybody want to bet money that Cena or Kane or someone gets involved here with a Vince Russo style cluster bomb at the end? And it was really weird because looking at my watch going, hey, 10:47, there's still plenty of time to do a thing. What do you mean they're done with the pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
Very well paced, very well done. Few of them bumps were just ow.
Yeah, there's going to be a couple of black welts tomorrow for sure.
And it pays to work on the ring crew, doesn't it, Spug? You know how to take apart a ring real fast.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead, Spug.
I was Will called it, and then I saw him do it. I'm like, holy shit, he really is going to do that middle rope. He mm-hmm. really is going to undo the middle rope. And he undid the middle rope, and I went,
Totally undid that turnbuckle.
Like, I didn't think that they would let him do that. But listening to his interview with Bill Simmons from back in July after Money in the Bank, it kind of makes more sense now. Because he said it then, he's like, I've told Vince on a number of occasions, trust me, I'm never going to do anything that's bad for business.
Mm-hmm.
And he's proven it so far. Like, he's just, he legitimately is crushing it.
Oh, yeah. He would definitely not be out of place in the Attitude Era. That's for damn sure.
I think he would be. I don't think he'd fit there.
Really? What do you think, Omega?
I think he had enough going on in the Attitude Era as it is. I mean, you had two enormous stars competing for popularity the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he's right at home right now because you got John Cena. It's like, kind of a mid, he's a tweener anyway. It was just ripe for someone like him to come up and kind of, basically claim the WWE.
He's pretty much refreshed the product this past year, don't you think? Or at least in spring?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
His big claim is that he's making WWE fun again. If you go back to the Attitude Era was fun already. He wouldn't be needing to do that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, just fantastic match. And, of course, CM Punk retaining the title. Any final comments on the match, guys?
I'm still believing. I was just sat there and they're going, this was the first time ever a WWE Championship was in a TLC match. And I was sitting there going, really? Not even at a house show? Not even on a Raw and I missed it all these years?
Well, a triple threat, Alan. A triple threat TLC match.
I thought the way that laryngitis described it was that it was just the first time that a WWE championship was on the line in the triple threat. Or
no,
in the TLC game.
It was,
no.
God, it was Edge and someone.
Flair.
Who else? What? Yeah.
Oh, they did it at one point.
On a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, it's not the first. Yeah, it was not the first time. It was the first time in a triple threat, is how it was phrased.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me ask you guys this, because I'm interested to hear your opinion. Who you put about, you know, where do Cody and Daniel Bryan go from here? Where does Punk go from here? He's got however many weeks it is to the Rumble. Who goes with him at the Rumble?
Well, let me ask you this, Alan. Okay. Who gets the rematch for the World Heavyweight title? Does Mark Henry or does Big Show?
I would put both of them in there against Daniel Bryan. Why not?
Oh,
let
God.
Let him be the giant killer type thing of, you know, you're the one, you with the hurt ankle, look what, you know, I can go after your ankle and I can get you down and, you know, that's where you go from there. I'm trying to think with Punk, you know, we've already seen Punk Del Rio a lot of times. We've seen Punk Miz a bunch of times. We've seen Punk Cena a bunch of times.
But, Alan, we haven't seen...
Punk Ziggler?
No, we haven't seen Punk Miz. We've seen the match, but we haven't seen a feud.
Yeah, but in this 24-second news cycle, man, one match on Monday Night Raw is a feud.
How many times have Randy Orton and Dolph Ziggler fought in the last 3 months?
Geez.
They've done it a bunch of times.
And every time you see the match, it's really good.
Yeah, because WWE's creative is sitting there going, hey, you two are good, go get them, Tiger. They're using the Gabe Sapolsky Ring of Honor philosophy that worked for years. Hey, you can work, go get them.
But that's the point. Like, WWE is letting feuds develop now. They're actually giving people feuds.
Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah. You're to answer Alan's question, I go with the Miz versus Punk in the Rumble.
See, that matchup, yeah, I like that one.
Because I don't want to see John Cena versus CM Punk again.
Or Alberto Del Rio.
So you just stick Punk, yeah. You stick Cena in the Rumble and hope for the best.
There you go.
I go with Miz, or not Miz, but Del Rio Punk at the Rumble,
but
with interference by Jericho.
That guy again, man, he's everywhere.
Well, he's coming back January 2nd.
Man. Yeah, he's coming
back. Don't ask him that on Twitter.
Oh, he's keeping kayfabe, like kayfabe wrestling radio, every Tuesday night live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thank you.
That was definitely one of your weaker shows, but still, like, you whore. Absolute whore.
He's following the Kevin Smith philosophy in life.
There you go. So, wrap it up. Final thoughts of the entire pay-per-view. Start with Omega.
I'm still amazed that we saw a little bit of creativity out of the WWE out of this entire show. I mean, aside from a few good shock spots, and there's something about watching the conclusion of a match with a middle turnbuckle just completely missing. That just,
right?
It just amused the hell out of me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd probably give this like an A- pay-per-view. This was. Yeah, I mean, aside from, okay, there's a Divas match I could have done without, and, you know, okay, they could have done the Money in the Bank thing a little bit better, I get, you know, but, you know, very solid matches, very, you know, very good top to bottom, very good moments to talk about here.
Yeah, there you go. Spug.
I give it a B+.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay, no further mention, just a B+ from Spug. Alan.
Man, I hate when you have to do these letter grade things. I feel like I'm on Dick Clark American Bandstand. I give it a 45, but I can't dance with it. I give it a B-. Like, I could have lived without the Divas and the tag title and Sheamus and all that stuff and Hornswoggle, Mini Dusty Rhodes. Other than that, if you're looking for some good stuff, the TLC match was really good, and the opener with Ryder was really good as well.
There you go. All right. So, you know, I'll give it a B plus, but I'll also say it's a very high B plus. It's, for me, so far this year, in my personal opinion, this is a, definitely a top three pay-per-view for the year.
I probably agree with that, because I can actually remember things from this pay-per-view.
There you go. Okay. So, that's, WWE's TLC. If you guys were thinking about maybe getting the replay, I won't say don't waste your money, because, it didn't feel like a waste of money.
No, it didn't. But, Alan, Tuesday night, what are you doing?
We're going to be talking with former NWA World Tag Team Champion Chase Stevens. He's a part of Wrestling Revival, the next Crossfire Wrestling event on the 18th of January. Next Friday, this coming Friday, amazingly, is Ring of Honor Final Battle 2011. We talked with Kevin Steen last week. Grab that because it's a worldwide exclusive. He's not doing any more interviews. The reigning world champion, Davey Richards, will be with us at 10 o'clock. And stay with us on Facebook and Twitter. I think we just booked a worldwide exclusive for 9:30. So don't
we're not inking it
away
any,
from
right
the page.
Now. We're not putting
yeah,
the
no
ink,
ink
the,
yet.
Yeah.
Don't ink it. Don't get the pen. Don't color it in. Don't spike your hair.
Don't spike your hair.
Mohawkish?
Yeah,
maybe.
Mohawk, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's might cool. be a nice style.
All right, so there you go. Everybody, we have basically broken down the pay-per-view for you. We're going to take a break and come back and talk more stuff. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wild Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Sophia Restaurant, may I help you?
Yes, I have a place to order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Oh, God. Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means the chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Jessica Havoc, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back, WTRs in the Night Rust Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm such a dick. Anyway.
Yeah, what'd you do, you dick?
I played the cane theme, that's why.
I don't know why you're a dick for playing the cane theme.
Anyway, moving on.
I think you're just dick, period, but that's a different story. Anyway, yeah, so it's been a long day, holy cow.
Has it, Tim? Has it been a long day for you?
Yeah, a very long day. Getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday is just not something I like doing on a regular basis.
Then why did you do it this Sunday?
Well, because Canadian All-Pro Wrestling had a show, an afternoon matinee.
Holy crap, are you serious?
I am so. It was a fun show, too.
Was it? What's happened on the show, Tim? Was Steve Rivers at the show?
Yes, he was, that bastard.
That all-American Steve Rivers, he was that the coward, as you call him.
What a little faker that little wimp ball is.
What'd he do now?
Well, he's still trying to sell a buggered-up knee, so he comes out at the very beginning of the show tonight, interrupts what's going on, and swears left, right, center, up, and down the middle. He is not wrestling Hotshot Johnny Devine, so you can, like, forget that idea. So he sets up a match, actually. He brought a guy in called Massive Damage.
Now, what does this Massive Damage look like for those of you know haven't seen the show?
He's a big guy. Pretty scary looking. It was his debut. It was his debut in Canadian All-Pro Wrestling. He's out of Red Deer, Alberta, which is like an hour and a half north of here. And street sign? Yeah, no, it's not the... No, you're thinking barricade.
That's the point.
I know, but no, this guy, he's big and he's menacing. He's got one of those crew cut mohawk style haircuts, tattoos all over, and he's like 300 some odd pounds, and he's not a tiny guy by any means.
Right, so it was Johnny Devine and Massive Damage in your main event this afternoon.
Yeah, Johnny Devine took on Massive Damage in the main event. Devine, naturally, just because he's the hotshot, beat Massive Damage. Steve Rivers was actually in Damage's corner for the main event.
Okay. Did he get involved in any sort of, you know?
Well, he tried a few times. It backfired, and then after Devine won, he got into the ring and got into Massive Damage's face. Damage didn't like that too much.
And what happened?
He basically picked up Rivers and side slammed him. And said, okay, that's, and you could hear him clear outside, just giving Rivers shit, just yelling at the All-American. crap, but you know, I'm taking that bullshit, blah, 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 blah. You know, screw you, Rivers, blah, 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 and he starts walking away. General manager, Vinny Fever, calls him back, says, whoa, 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 mass damage. Don't sound too happy. Tell you what, January 12th at the border crossing, we're going to feed you Steve Rivers.
Interesting.
Yeah, so massive damage. That is one match booked on the next Canadian All-Pro Wrestling Show, first one after Christmas. And that will be at the border crossing bar. Massive Damage is going to get a chance to get his hands on Steve Rivers. And Damage, of course, on the microphone also dropped the unbelievable bombshell to the general manager that Rivers really isn't hurt. He's just, like, faking it so he can stay away from, you know, avoid facing Devine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but here it is at the very first match of the night. Rivers comes out to talk to our another brand new member of the Canadian All-Pro wrestling roster, Ryan Strife. And he says, you know, look, you know, I can't, you know, I'm hurt, yada, 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 but I'm managing tonight, and I've got your opponent. So your opponent, here comes your opponent. And, of course, Ryan Strife is turned looking at the entranceway, waiting for his opponent to come out, and Rivers blindsides him from behind and basically takes him out, squashes him, if you will, and gets the pinfall victory over Ryan Strife. So, you know, I'm not really too happy with these bullshit tactics to begin with. So
I'm just going to jump around because I'm not going in order. Spuggs, you know, favorite wrestler on the Canadian All-Pro Wrestling roster.
Stephen Styles.
Stephen Styles, apparently he's going to get fined or some sort. What he
oh,
do?
Oh, yeah. He's being fined $500 for being a jackass, basically, is what it comes down to. Comes out and he's just all livid because he got taken out of the four-way match for the IWA Commonwealth title tournament. And it's pretty much mostly because of what he did at the previous show at the border crossing. Basically cheating to win even though he lost against Keishi Matsunaga. And we turned that into a fans bring the weapons match on January the 12th. But he was taken out of the four-way. We made it a triple threat. And, of course, excuse me, he was all upset about that. And he came out and got into Vinny Fever's face about it. And then he promised, hey, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to watch. I won't get involved or anything like that, which is bullshit because halfway through he went and attacked Keishi Matsunaga, laid the guy out, and basically took him out of the triple threat match.
Bastard.
Yeah. So, after that happened, Mike Briggs wound up winning the triple threat, so he gets an automatic buy into the final, and he'll face the winner, the final winner of the brackets.
The other four people in the match, the tournament.
Yeah.
Two other, yeah. So.
I think we got six, I'm not sure, we'll have to double check that. But, the second match of the tournament will take place, at the border crossing in the next show, so.
You also had the first ever CAW women's match.
Yes, we finally got a chance to bring in somebody to see if Ms. Danya could back up what she said at the border crossing, and it was a fairly good match for the most part. But it ended in a double DQ non finish because these girls apparently just wound up not liking each other, and it became a real cat fight halfway through the match. And the referee counted them both out, and wasn't a lot of fun. So they're set to go for January 12th in a rematch.
So it sounds like you have a lot of things in the works for Border Crossing at on January 12th.
Oh, absolutely. There are a lot of matches already in place. The show's just about almost not quite a month away. But, like I said, it was a really good show. We also had Ironside taking on Barricade. Ironside getting the victory on that one as well.
So they broke through the barricade on that one?
Yeah. I totally missed the finish because I was kind of busy. But,
You're the owner of the promotion and you missed the finish. Terrible.
Well, you know.
Terrible.
Yeah, I'm the president and CEO, but I've got that's why I hired Vinny Fever as the general manager, dude.
Yeah, she'll still be watching.
Yeah, so He's got a lot of shit under control. I was busy watching something else.
What were you watching?
The Concession Girl.
Gotcha.
Well, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. She had a hell of a wreck.
This is a real wrestling promotion, then.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, really hot blonde. She got, like, tattoos, right? Like, on her chest area. Spug, you would have been appreciative of this.
I'm sure.
I'm just saying.
Anyway, January 12th, Border Crossing. What's the name of the event?
The name of the event? Yeah, this is going to be a lot of fun. You're going to enjoy this. It's called Cowtown Beatdown.
Headlined by the fans, bring the weapons match. They can go to CanadianAllPro.com for ticket information.
Absolutely. Yeah. Tickets on sale now. Advance tickets only $15, $20 at the door. Jam-packed event. The main match of the night is Fans Bring the Weapons. And that's Stephen Styles, the prick, against Keisha Matsunaga.
So I want to see someone bring a, you know, the kitchen sink.
Yeah, well, you know, that's quite possible. The only weapons that people can't bring, naturally, are, you know, like guns, knives, really, really pointy objects.
Can they bring Cena suck shirts with them?
Absolutely. Tell me, where can I get one of these Cena Sucks t-shirts?
Apparently at WWE live events and probably coming to WWE shop in the next week.
Hey, there you go. That sounds interesting.
But did you guys see the shirt?
I saw it.
What'd you think?
I don't want to get into conspiracy theory on this one because it's WWE marketing. I mean, it's a hilarious shirt. I love that they put the little tiny Let's Go Cena at the top of the giant Cena Sucks stamp. I mean, it works perfectly, but at the same time, it just means they're marketing toward the anti-Cena crowd, so now 100% of the people will be buying John Cena merchandise.
So there's a method to their madness.
Yeah. If they can't win them over, we'll abuse them.
There you go.
Apparently Mace has no interest in, you know, buying that shirt. He mentioned it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something he would purchase.
Okay, but would he purchase Fruity Pebbles?
Well, you can, you know, win tickets to somewhere, apparently, if you buy a box of John Cena Fruity Pebbles.
John Cena really is Fruity Pebbles.
It only took them 8 months from the, you know.
Well, it's a long corporate process to set up promotions like that.
Yeah, still takes them a long time. He's wearing this light blue shirt that he's never worn before.
It's supposed to be an exclusive shirt for the prize winners.
Oh.
Exclusive meaning we printed them on different stock.
So yeah, John Cena's on a box of Fruity Pebbles, and
see, that's why I dispute these. The shirt is the beginning of the John Cena heel turn thing because of a box of Fruity Pebbles. Because the promotion took so long to set up, why the hell would they blow it by making Cena the bad guy?
Yeah, there you go. Well, it's awesome.
My Fruity Pebble theory.
Now, Omega, if we told you a year ago from now you would have a Fruity Pebble theory about wrestling, your reaction would have been what?
Knowing my head, I would not be surprised.
Now, do you have a theory on the Kane mask?
Shockmaster envy?
That was your first reaction to that?
I want to know why he... That's my first reaction. Why is Kane coming out dressed like Iron Man?
Version 1.0.
Exactly. Old steel one.
Yeah.
I think everyone's so... Like, okay, he takes off the Stormtrooper helmet, and he's got a decent-looking mask underneath. You know, he's got the new fake hair sewn into it. Okay, that's all fine, well, and good. I think everyone's kind of forgotten that the rest of the new outfit looks completely crap. It's got cartoony flames on it and like football stitching instead of the straps that actually kind of looked menacing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm glad to see Kane in a mask again, but it's hard pressed to take him seriously dressed like that.
Well, you remember when Undertaker was wearing that mask that he was wearing?
It looked like he, you know, was wearing a piece of a skull on his face.
Does that mask not look familiar to you?
No, because it's covering more of his face than that one did.
It's supposed to be a press of Undertaker's face.
And supposedly supposedly the Undertaker was Kane. And...
No. There were a lot of tattoos missing for that to have happened.
I killed the Undertaker and I'm wearing his skin now.
That just brings the wrong kind of movie into play.
So Kane is now Leatherface.
And a dog named Precious.
Where the hell is Alan when these movie references are going?
Here you go.
Alright, before we transition to the words, I have to play this, you know, little clip from YouTube about this is some kid reacting to Kane returning.
It's Kane with the mouse! Holy shit! It's Kane! Look! It's Kane! Holy crap! Holy crap, it's Kane! Look at that metal mask! It's Kane! Holy crap! Holy crap! It's Kane! It's Kane! Holy shit! Holy shit! Oh my god! He just shamed them! Holy crap! He has a metal mask! His hair is grown back! Holy crap!
Oh my god. Where's this kid's parents?
I don't know. He still has a little bit more to say. He's just staring at the TV at the moment.
Mask.
Wow. the inner mark in you.
Man, that's bad. That was just bad.
And that was probably the same reaction Jackie Feist had.
To be a young fan again.
Yeah. You know, despite her protestations to the opposite, I'm almost positive that was Jackie Feist screaming, "Motherfucker, look at the mask, motherfucker, holy fuck." I'm just saying.
Just saying. But yeah, I figured that was worth playing on the show. Takes you back when you were a little kid marking out about wrestling.
Yeah, there you go.
But year-end awards, Tim.
Year-end awards. Hey, well, here are the categories. We're looking for the best ring announcer. I'm sorry, I said breast. Thinking about Katie's rack again. Anyway, best announcer, tag team of the year, female of the year, storyline feud of the year, best moment, superstar of the year, and match of the year.
I'll start with Mace's pick for best announcer. He picked Jim Ross.
Okay, Jim Ross. Omega.
Yeah, I got Jim Ross as well.
Mm. Spud.
Nigel McGuinness, ROH.
We did get a response on Twitter for Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor as well.
Oh, okay, there you go.
We also had one from Matt Stryker. But...
I like Stryker. JR wasn't there all that much this year, if I remember right. Like, he was there for a little bit, and then he was gone. So
yes, but between him, Michael Cole, Booker T, and unfortunately, I am a little tired of Jerry Stick.
I'm tired of Jerry Stick too, but if we're gonna go best announcer from WWE, I'm gonna go with the.
We're not doing WWE. We're doing wrestling in general.
But if you're gonna go from the E,
right,
and then you got to go Josh Matthews.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Or
yeah,
Todd,
I've got him
Todd
as my
Grisham.
Second. Yeah. Yeah, I've got Josh as a second here in case Jim Ross was DQ'd for, you know, basically not being an announcer this year.
That's my point. He hasn't been there all year. I would go Josh Grisham. Or
Josh Grisham.
Josh Grisham.
They've melded.
They are legion.
For they are many.
How about Tag Team of the Year?
Tag Team of the Year, so I don't get a vote for best announcer?
Oh, I thought you said who you picked. No, but who's your
best
announcer?
No, I didn't.
Okay, who's your best announcer?
The guy who does Canadian All-Pro Wrestling matches.
You whore.
and then, you know, pick a real one.
All right, all right. Josh Matthews.
Chris, we're not giving Tim Steiner an award for best announcer.
There you go.
How about a tag team of the year?
I want a real tag team before I vote on this one.
Yeah, was there one this year?
Mexican America.
Beer Money, maybe?
Beer Money or Mexican America?
I wouldn't even count Beer Money, considering how much time was wasted on the whole, what was it, the Bound for Glory tournament?
But they were still tag team champions throughout most of it.
Yeah, but they were focused on singles competition at the time.
They were also doing tag matches, and, you know, that counted towards singles points, and don't ask me why. And May said, Natty. Okay, no, seriously. There was no. This is what he wrote. Oh, okay.
Hey,
okay, seriously.
It's a tag team.
Hey, to be fair, Natty and Beth is an acceptable answer.
There you go, it is.
Yeah, but he didn't say and Beth, so shut up.
You don't know what he was going to say.
He said nobody.
You cut him off.
He said nobody. There was not enough tag team focus this year for him to give a shit. How about Diva or Female of the Year?
Oh, here it comes.
Oh, boy.
Tim.
Katie.
No one knows who she is, so Female Wrestler of the Year.
Oh, okay. Female Wrestler of the Year.
I was going to say, you're voting for Katie Vick?
No, Katie was the concession girl at the show today.
No. Female Wrestler of the Year, not who you'd like to wrestle.
Well, okay, well, you know, I heard Diva of the Year, okay?
Diva / Female of the Year, okay.
There you go. I'm going to get booed on this one, but I have to say Kelly Kelly.
May said Beth Phoenix.
Hey, hang on a second. Shit, the last bit of respect I had for you, Tim, just ran out the door.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go after it.
I got to go with Natty. I've got to go with Natty and the twins. How can you not? How can you not? And fuck you, Tim.
Megan, did you give a pick?
Considering how generic and just repetitive the Divas have been this year, and I'd even say that to TNA, the way they completely obliterated their knockout division. Despite a brief run, I've got Karma down. Because you know what? As a Diva division event, it was different.
I'm going to be a shameless whore and say the WSU Spirit Champion Jessica Havoc, and you can vote for her in the WRA Wrestling Radio Awards at WrestlingRadioAwards.com for Female Interview of the Year.
You fucking pussy.
It's called shilling.
Fucking pussy.
I'm surrounded by whores.
Well, you don't feel so special anymore now, do you?
Hey.
Mr. Hey, I got a press release. Yeah, well, I got a wrestling federation. Shut up.
Hey, if I wanted to talk to a whore, I've got a much cuter one I could go to right now.
I'm not saying a word.
Storyline feud of the year. Spug.
CM Punk, John Cena.
Mace would sit back you up. He says CM Punk versus John Cena, Vince McMahon, WWE. In a hole, that whole storyline.
Yeah. On my sheet, it says Punk versus Establishment.
Punk versus WWE.
Apparently nothing else happened in WWE but CM Punk versus...
That's the only thing that's memorable, for Christ's sakes.
But you don't remember Kevin Nash's pop? No. Anyway, what's the best moment of the year?
I think we saw it tonight.
Ricardo.
No. This, honestly, I think you saw it tonight with the spot with the with the spot with the handcuffs and the turnbuckle.
Tim?
The ring breaking.
Omega?
Edge's farewell.
Ooh.
And, because I have to speak from Ace, CM Punk appearing at Mattel panel at Comic-Con after his contract expired to show to shove the belt in Triple H's face.
Ooh, another good one.
Yeah, Superstar of the Year, Omega.
Jimmy Uso.
Come on, this is unanimous. This is going to be unanimous.
There's no argument here. It's Punk.
Spug?
You know...
Oh my God, he's going to do it.
I got to go with the Miz.
He's going to fuck up unanimous.
Wow.
You're saying wow. Mace chimes in CM Punk, Miz, and Zack Ryder for, you know, all tied for one, I think, Superstar of the Year.
He's not allowed to pick three, is he?
He wrote it. I'm just reading what he wrote.
So if you're allowed to pick three, then I'll pick two.
You're only allowed to pick one.
Fucking double standards.
He's not here live. You're here live.
Find it. I'm going to go find a job that I have to work at on Sundays and not be on the show so I can have three picks.
And then Spug will go, yay!
Yay!
Anyway, Tim?
Funk.
Simple as that.
See, in 2010, I do believe I picked Miz.
Yeah, probably about the same. Like, I'm Mark for the Miz, but he hit a stumbling block this year. Okay, he's got a win over John Cena at WrestleMania this year, and that's almost about as big as it gets. But you pair him up with Truth after he loses the title, and he doesn't really do anything in between those two moments. And he didn't really do anything when he was with R-Truth either.
Except barely rap.
You know, basically, all he did was come down to the ring in extraordinarily inappropriate music. Why the fuck are you coming down to R-Truth's music when he is the former world champion?
Because that's what's up. Match of the year. Tim.
Boy.
What's match of the year in your opinion?
Taker, Triple H.
Spug.
John Cena versus CM Punk from Night of Champions.
Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. That's Mesa's as well. Omega?
I've got Triple H and Taker.
If I have to break a tie, but I don't have to, I'd go with Punk and Cena. Because that atmosphere was just, you know, awesome.
What do you mean you don't have to break up a tie?
There's no really, you know, we're not, you know, making one general opinion. Just whatever everyone, you know, is picking their own. But now, it's time for the great debate.
The bell has sounded for this week's great debate.
For the last few weeks, I come out here and I sit here and listen to you spend your little nursery rhymes about Jabroni Avenue or Know Your Own Boulevard. You better get your ass serious because Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to take his ass to Philadelphia, check right in to the SmackDown Hotel, roll right in to Room 316, and burn that son of a bitch to the ground.
You know the crowd just came from the bathroom. You should have smelled what The Rock was cooking. I ain't faking. You should have smelled what The Rock was baking.
Now step into the ring with us for this week's great debate.
For debate tonight, we're going to start with Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn taking on Owen Hart against Bret Hart, and we start with Omega.
Oh, God damn it. God damn it. I had a week to think this over, and I am still stumped.
I
To quote Nelson from The Simpsons,
oh, God. Son of a bitch. I am literally stuck here. Like, okay, RVD and Jerry Lynn had some of the best matches I've ever seen, at least in the hardcore sense. Bret Hart and Owen Hart, you actually had chemistry between real brothers, and not Edge and Christian were pretending to be brothers. I mean, you had some great family rivalry there. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, brother feuds are compared to these days. You know, fucking hell. I'm going. God damn it.
Do you have a coin in front of you or something?
Here's the thing. I'm going with RVD and Lynn, and here's why. Because the same connection Bret and Owen had that made them great rivals also made them great allies when tag teaming, when you had your Canadian factions, your Hart Foundation going. It played both ways. You talk RVD and Jerry Lynn, I mean, you have a rivalry that just went on so long. You know, and the matches are just so damn good. Like, it barely edges it out.
You can hear the inner conflict in your statements.
I know. Fucking hell.
Just imagine if I picked you last and you had to break a tie.
Oh, God.
At least I went with you first. Tim, your turn. Oh.
Why me?
Because you're the one that's going to squirm the most next to me.
Well, as good and popular and as well influential as the Hart Brothers feud was, I have to say Austin McMahon. It defined an era.
Tim.
What?
Alzheimer's man. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I was looking at the wrong thing. Rob Van Dam, Jerry Lynn. Owen versus Owen Brett. That's the one we're on, right?
Yeah, that's the one we're on.
Okay, so I was looking at the wrong line. It's not Alzheimer's. It's lack of attention.
Okay, spoiler now. Great.
Yeah, okay. Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn or Owen versus Brett.
Yeah, that's the one.
That changes my answer. Owen versus Brett.
I mean, Tim, Omega's out here debating between the two. And you
shut up. I'm doing paperwork. I'm multitasking. Move on.
Spock, break the tie.
RVD Jerry Lynn. They're not Canadian.
Great answer.
Like, I was going to give anything to the Harts.
Yeah, I know. That's why I went to you last. I knew where we were going to go. Anyway, next one. Ric Flair against Randy Orton taking on Austin and McMahon. Tim.
Austin McMahon.
Omega.
Austin McMahon's what reclaimed the Monday Night War from WCW.
Spug.
Ric Flair, Randy Orton, they're not Canadian or Harts.
Neither are Austin McMahon. Fuck.
But they've wrestled in Canada, I don't know.
Yeah, so have Ric Flair and Randy Orton. Jesus Christ.
I don't know. Anyway, that's the great...
See how pissed off he gets when nobody says anything good about the Harts? Like, does your perma-hard-on go away when people denigrate the Harts?
No, I'm just pissed off that you're being an asshole half the time. That's all.
It's okay. He's our asshole, and we deal with him every week. Anyway, time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine. Wow, fine. Wow, fine. These days.
step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
We're going to start with you, Tim. What is one thing you want to see happen in pro wrestling in 2012?
More crossing the line into reality from storyline.
Simple as that?
Yep.
More reality-based storylines. Alright, I can see that. Omega, last year you hoped that WWE would get rid of its PG rating. This year was one thing you hope WWE will change in 2012.
Honestly, after the Fruity Pebble theory has expired?
Yes.
Yeah, time to change Cena. Like, if this shirt proves that it's marketable to have anti-Cena merchandise, then they're going to lose their one argument for not turning him heel, and good lord, he is so damn stale.
Spug, what will be the most shocking moment in 2012?
You know, the most shocking moment in 2012, does it have to be wrestling related?
Yes, this is the idea of wrestling related, yes.
Damn it, never mind. I was going to say when the United States closes its borders.
Yeah,
because I think that's coming.
But we're mainly going on to wrestling.
But it affects the wrestling.
All right, give me something shocking in wrestling that will happen.
Kelly finally learns how to take off a bra. I don't give a fuck, dude. Really?
Well, we're looking ahead to 2012. That's
then let's legitimately look ahead to 2012.
That's what I'm asking you. Something kind of shocking that would happen. That was the question. It's okay. It's whatever. We'll move on. Tim, who is someone under the radar?
All right. You want something shocking?
Yeah.
WWE buys out TNA by the end of 2012.
Okay. Tim, who is someone on the radar that will win a world championship in 2012?
Someone on the radar?
Under the radar.
Under the radar. Somebody under the radar. Doesn't matter which championship?
Win a world championship. Doesn't matter what company or anything.
I don't think there is anybody yet. The name, really.
The idea is to pick someone out that you think could possibly be a world champion. Last year, you were all big on John Morrison. See where that got you.
Yeah, that got me nowhere. Dolph Ziggler winning the world title.
Okay. Omega. Today must be a good day for you.
Do you think so?
Yeah, two of your favorite people were born today.
Who?
Trish Stratus and Rob Van Dam.
Damn. Oh.
And you call yourself a stalker.
Give each one of them a gift.
Oh, no. I'd like to give Trish the same gift over and over.
Your jerk towel does not count as a gift.
You know, since I'd never want the incident to be repeated again, RVD, you get a road map.
How about we give him a police scanner?
Can we get him a GPS that has a police scanner in it?
Yes.
And to Trish?
He just said it, his jerk towel.
I heard you say it. I didn't hear him say it.
I can just see him getting all like rosy cheeked and ashamed, be like, I thought of you over and over and over.
Oh God. I don't know what I'd get Trish.
You haven't thought about this moment about giving Trish something?
I thought about giving her one specific thing, but I'm not naming that on the air. And no, it's not a towel spug.
She doesn't want your penis. Have you seen Trish? You think she... I'm just saying.
Anyway, I'll move on because Omega doesn't have an answer.
You still.
Spug, who is what is one wrestler that will see their career come to an end in 2012?
Undertaker.
Meaning he's done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That would be quick hits, Tim.
And that brings us to an end of another episode of WTRS and the Night Rush Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just a reminder, everybody, we will not be here live next Sunday.
But we will do a show that Monday. I don't know what we're calling it, but we're going to be on after Raw on the 26th.
Yeah. And for the rest of this week, I don't know if anybody's doing a fucking thing.
Again,
except for Alan.
Again, you don't listen. Alan Wojcik is doing
a show. Except for Alan.
We're doing a show Saturday, too. Don't ask me why, okay. But we are. Alan Wojcik, Tuesday Night Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. He has... who does he have, Spug? The ROH World Champion?
Chase Stevens.
Chase Stevens.
And then... A possibility, Mohawk.
Think Inc. And yeah, the ROH World Champion will be on the program.
Mm-hmm.
That's 9 p.m. Eastern, and follow Alan on Twitter. My name is Wojcik. And apparently we're doing a show Saturday night, because Rob doesn't want to do it on Friday. CB Radio, midnight-ish. We're going to... the Christmas Eve edition of CB Radio. Check it out!
That being said, everybody have a great week, and for those of you Christian fuckers, Merry Christmas. Those of you who are Jewish, Happy Harmonica.
Happy Hanukkah.
Yeah, and the rest of happy what the fuck ever you celebrate.
Pretty much.
See ya! We're done. Bye. Thanks for tuning in.